This morning's reading is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 7, verses 1 to 23, page 712 in the Church Bible. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered round Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might have otherwise have received from me is korban, that is a gift devoted to God,' then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you handed down, and you do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean." He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." Amen.
Heavenly Father, we have just sung, "I worship the Lamb who was slain." And we ask now that you help us to worship you by listening to Jesus. Please help us not to be empty, fake worshippers that just sing these things and then do nothing. And we thank you again that Jesus is our shepherd, and ask as he speaks and teaches us now that you would help us to hear his voice and then to obey. Please help us to be genuine worshippers of you, the living God. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's an outline you can follow on your service sheet, if that would help you. You might have spotted that the title of this message is Dishing the Dirt. Now, that doesn't mean that this is just going to be a free-for-all where we just sort of dish the dirt on one another. So you're safe. Well, you're not safe, actually, because this passage does have some important things to say to us. That's what we're thinking about. And the reason I've called it that is because we are a nation, aren't we, that loves to dish the dirt. Now, you only have to pick up a newspaper and, you know, splashed on every page are headlines. Now, one of the reasons that people dish the dirt is because it makes people feel better about themselves. So I don't know if you've been watching The X Factor this year. I know many people are sort of kind of given up on it. But you probably can't not have heard of Frankie Kokoso. He was one of the singers in the show. And he was found to have taken cocaine during the week. And basically that meant that he was kicked off the show. He can no longer be part of the X Factor. And all the tabloids, front page, was all this sort of dishing the dirt on Frankie Kokoso, taking cocaine, that sort of thing. And if you listen in to how people talk about it, they're all saying things like, you know, I can't believe he did that. You know, what an opportunity, what an idiot to have blown this by taking cocaine. And although people don't say it, I guess we're just one step away from saying, I would never do that. I wouldn't have been that stupid. And in contrast to the dirt of somebody else, we can seem very clean. Okay, you see that? So one of the reasons that people dish the dirt is it can help make us feel better about ourselves. But another reason, which is what I'll think about this morning, that people dish the dirt is because it's a way of trying to get rid of people that you don't like. Okay? It's particularly seen in the world of politics. So how do you discredit a leader or a threat to the leadership? You discredit the leader. Discredit them by dishing the dirt. So the race for the American president has started, has it not? Is it next year that will happen? So already candidates have been put forward. And as you follow that on the news, you will find that as leaders put themselves forward, what does the opposition do? They dig. And they try and find things to expose them. And then leaders fall and they crash down as headlines splash out. And another leader will pop up and then this side will dig, dish the dirt. And it's just, you know, that's what sort of happens. Now, discrediting leaders by dishing the dirt is not a new thing. It's exactly what we find here in Mark 7. And it's a textbook case in many ways. You know, take Jesus. From a human point of view, he is an up-and-coming leader. Now, he's massively popular. The crowds, we've seen the crowds swarm to him. Last week we saw, 15,000 people running from all the towns and villages to him. So he's influential, popular. People are listening to his teaching. But as he rises up, the current leadership of Israel are threatened. They don't like this up-and-coming Jesus. And back in 3 chapter 6, they've already begun an assassination plot against him. And in 3:22, they've already tried to dismiss him as a demon-possessed man. They've already tried to dish the dirt and say, look, you're demon-possessed Jesus. And there's a pattern of attack. And here in chapter 7, Israel's leaders launch another operation, dish the dirt on Jesus. Let's read again verses 1 to 7. Have a look with me. Mark writes this. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders, instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" So picture the scene. Okay, so the delegate of religious leaders have been sent from Jerusalem and they've arrived and they start watching Jesus because they want to catch him out. And they're watching him. And then they notice that his disciples don't wash before they eat. They don't observe the tradition of the elders. Now, this is not a hygiene issue. This is a spiritual issue. So the word clean and unclean are Old Testament words which are used in the context of relationship with God. Okay? And so for a person to be unclean is to be dirty before God. Now, a God who is pure and holy. So to be unclean is to be unfit for his presence, sort of unacceptable to the living God. And so Israel's leaders think that Jesus' disciples are unclean, unacceptable in the service of God. Do you see? So that they've come, they've been watching, and now they think they've got him. And so they dish the dirt. They confront Jesus with a hope to discredit him and his ministry. But it's no surprise that we find that their attempt to dish the dirt turns out to be an epic fail. And instead we find that Jesus exposes not only them, so Jesus is going to expose, we'll see, the religious leaders of Israel, but he doesn't just expose the leaders, he exposes the whole crowd, even us. Do you see that? If you like, they want to dish the dirt on Jesus, but Jesus throws it back at them and then to everyone. And that really gives us two headlines this morning as we look at this together. And the first headline on your sheet there, Israel's religious leaders exposed as fake. Okay? Let's have a look then. Verses 6 to 8. He, Jesus, replied, this is his response, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. Now, do you see, Jesus is making a distinction here between two things. One is the commands of God, and the other is the teachings of men. Okay, two separate things. So the commands of God is like the Old Testament, if you like, and the teachings of men really refers to a list of extra rules that were added over time. And in those extra rules, that included these rules about washing that Mark talks about. So can you see straight away how far these religious leaders are from the mind of God? Because as soon as they see Jesus' disciples, they think, unclean, because you're not washing. Okay? In other words, the thing that's going through the Pharisees' mind as they look at the disciples is they're not washing. That's what they spot. That's how their mind is running. As they walk into the room, what's the first thing they're looking for? Are you keeping these rules? Can you see how far away they are from the mind of God? Because these rules aren't even in the mind of God. That their whole way of thinking is these traditions and rules. What does Jesus call them? Verse 6, hypocrites, which literally means actors. They're not real worshippers of God at all, they're fake. And so they wash their hands and cups and pitchers and kettles, lots of washing. They rush around keeping rules, but they're not God's rules. And Jesus is saying, look, you're play-acting. You give the impression that you're devoted to God, but your heart is far from him. Now, Jesus doesn't leave it here. He gives another example to expose how fake they are, the example of Corban in verses 9 to 12. Have a look. He said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honour your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is Corban, that is a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you've handed down. Now, one of the commands of God is to honour your parents and provide for them. You know, we know that. And it's a command that God wants us to take really seriously. Okay? But Israel's religious leaders have invented a human tradition. And what it means is that they can give what they have got to God. You know, this is Corban. This is sort of earmarked as Corban. So that what they own is no longer used to provide for their parents. Now, the purpose of Corban, of course, is not really to give it to God, because they give it in such a way that they can always just take back what they want. The purpose of Corban is to stop it being used to provide for their family. And again, do you see how far away these leaders are from God? Jesus is saying, you invent rules to get out of doing what pleases God. Because God, it pleases God for you to honour your father and mother and provide for them. Verse 13, he says, and you do many things like that. You know, Jesus is not just picking up on a couple of examples here. You know, Corban is not like the sort of the bad raspberry and the punnet which you can just sort of pick out or sort of flick off and the rest is okay. And he's saying, look, the punnet is mouldy all the way through. Throw it away. Again and again and again, you've let go of the teaching of God and have replaced it with a tradition of men. Now, Jesus is really saying, this is what you're like. You're fake all the way through. If you were to cut these men in half, all the way through, they're bad. So that's the first thing. Israel's religious leaders exposed as fake. Can you see that? Now, this is significant for us for two reasons. This is why it matters. The first is this. Jesus' rejection of the religious leaders represents a turning point to what God is doing in the history of the world. Because in rejecting the old leadership, Jesus is going to appoint a new leadership. Can you see the turning point there? And we've already seen that because he's already appointed the 12, these new leaders. Now, Jesus has appeared. He is the chief shepherd, and he's appointed sort of under-shepherds to begin to take care of the flock that have been abused by these false teachers. But the rejection of Israel's leaders doesn't just mean there's going to be a new leadership, but a new people. A new people that's made up of both Jew and Gentile. I think if you spot it in verse 3, it's interesting that Jesus explains the washing. Why does he do that? Why does Jesus explain about the washing? Well, presumably he explains because he thinks at least some of his readers won't understand about the washing. But why would they not understand? Because they're not Jew, they're Gentile. Whereas there's something here for the Gentile to get, and that's us. And then, if we had time, we could follow up that Isaiah quote in Isaiah 29 that Jesus quotes. But it's interesting that if you follow that quote through, that it makes plain that as well as these false teachers that hold on to these traditions, that God is going to use that to do a new thing. A time when the Gentiles will, in the language of Isaiah 29, have their deaf ears opened and blind eyes made to see. And actually, next week, as we look at the rest of Mark 7 and Mark 8, where do we see Jesus go? He goes to the Gentiles. Okay. So do you see this turning point? In other words, you've got Israel's leaders, they're fake. Jesus is rejecting them. In rejecting them, he's going to appoint new leaders, and with these new leaders are a new people, which is a people made up of both Jew and Gentile. And that's helpful to us, isn't it? Because it really helps us to see how this fits into God's big story. And it helps us to understand why we're part of the church 2,000 years on. Because we're part of this new people. Yeah? So in rejecting the old leadership, there's a new leadership with a new people that includes even people like us. So it helps us to see how it all fits together. But a second reason why this is significant is that it helps us to guard against false teaching. Throughout the New Testament, okay, there are loads of warnings given to the church about false teachers. You know, bad leaders are not confined just to Jesus' day. There are bad leaders today. And Israel's religious leaders serve as warning examples of what to look for. For instance, there is a remarkable parallel between the false teaching of Israel's leaders and the teaching of Roman Catholicism. Let me give you a few examples. I've got here, this is the catechism of the Roman Catholic teaching. So listen to this, see if you can see a parallel. The way they do this is that they have sort of questions and answers. So let me read out a couple. So it says here, is the Pope infallible? The Pope is infallible. What do you mean when you say the Pope is infallible? When I say the Pope is infallible, I mean that the Pope cannot err when, as shepherd and teacher of all Christians, he defines a doctrine concerning faith or morals to be held by the whole church. Can you see the parallel there? See, Jesus makes a distinction between the commands of God and the traditions of men. Whereas the Roman Catholic teaching is saying, actually, when the Pope speaks, well, particularly when he speaks ex cathedra, that his words are effectively the words of God. And the words of distinctions lost, they're no longer the words of men, but they actually are the commands of God. And so you find that, you know, in the Roman Catholic official teaching, it's not just the Bible, but it's the Bible plus their traditions, which are of equal value. And we find, as you read through, that the traditions of the church contradict the commands of God, just like they did in Jesus' day. Let me give another example. In terms of forgiveness, this is the official teaching. It's already talked about the fact that the priest forgives sins. And the question is, how does the priest forgive sins? The priest forgives sins by the power of God when he pronounces the words of absolution. And this basically seems to be saying that if you want forgiveness from God, you can go to a priest, a Catholic priest, and the Catholic priest has power to declare you forgiven. If you like, the priest acts as a mediator, a go-between, between people and God. And that, of course, contradicts the plain teaching of the Bible. I mean, listen to this, 1 Timothy 2. Paul writes, "There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all men." You know? Jesus is the unique mediator, the unique go-between between man and God, and only he has the authority to forgive sins. Now look, this isn't a criticism of Roman Catholics, but on Roman Catholic teaching. Okay, and Jesus loves us enough to warn us not to listen to false teachers like this. Okay, this teaching is wrong. It will lead you to empty worship, vain worship. It will keep you from God. One of the things that struck me most in studying this is how strong Jesus is against these false teachers. Why is he so strong against them? It's because they're not only ruining themselves, but they're ruining other people. And particularly these Israel's leaders, they're abusing Israel. They think they're obeying God, but they disobey and they force others to do the same. And so here we find Jesus wants to discredit their ministry so that people won't listen to them anymore. Okay, and the warning for us is to beware. Avoid this false teaching. Well, that's the first thing. Israel's religious leaders exposed as fake. But Jesus goes further than this, and the second thing there on the sheet is that everybody's hearts exposed as unclean. Let's picture the scene, verse 14. "Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, 'Listen to me, everyone, and understand this.'" So the scene's changed, if you like. Jesus has had sort of a confrontation with Israel's leaders, and he sort of puts them in their place. And now he calls the crowds to him. "Gather round," says Jesus. "Listen, understand." You see, the false teachers, their understanding about uncleanness prompts Jesus to teach the truth on the subject. If you like, Jesus has exposed the false shepherds, and now he wants to properly shepherd his people. So he says, "Come, sheep, come and listen for me, and I will tell you the truth about what it means to be clean and unclean. What makes us dirty before God, and therefore unfit for the presence of God." And this is really important, isn't it, for us, for each of us this morning, that we're really clear on what it is that makes us unfit for God. Because really, not until we've understood that can there be any hope of a solution. So let's read again, verses 15 to 23. "Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it's what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. 'Are you so dull?' he asked. 'Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body. And saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. So what makes a person unclean? Well, the thing that makes a person unclean is what comes out of their heart. It's verse 20. Now, the heart, of course, is not referring to the human organ. It's not talking about the liver and the kidneys, but to the centre of the person, the real you, if you like. That is where Jesus locates the human problem. Why? Well, look at all the filth that comes out of a person's heart in verse 21, 22. I mean, just look at the list. These are the things that God sees that makes a person unclean. It's interesting, the thing that makes people unclean are not sort of failing to keep religious ceremonies and rituals and washing. They're not on the list at all, are they? But it's failing to treat other people the way God wants people to treat them. It's a failure to live God's way. And we can see here that our hearts are far from God because they don't desire what he desires. These are the things that are important to God, that he underlines, that he desires for his people. Yet look what comes out of man's heart. And so really, if you look at all the problems of this world, if you were to trace them all back to their source, it would take you to the human heart. That's what he's saying. And that's why, of course, in verse 19, Jesus declares all food clean. That's because what you eat doesn't affect your heart. You know, so you're free to eat sort of Chinese or curry or pizza. You're free to eat halal and kosher foods because they don't affect the heart. They just go into the stomach and out the other end. And it's the heart that makes people unclean. Now, Christians aren't required to eat every type of food, and some Christians won't want to eat certain foods as a matter of conscience, but we're free to. Food is not the problem. It's the human heart. Now, there continues to be a lot of confusion about the true nature of the human problem. Like most, if you chat to most people will say there is something wrong with the world. No, humanity has gone wrong. Most people will say that. And if you look at society, people locate the source of the problem in all kinds of different places. Let me mention some. So I think we often locate the human problem as our circumstances. We often think, if only our situation was different, then things would be better. Politicians often locate the human problem as poor education and tell us, if only we were better educated. You know, if only people had all the information, then they would make the right choice. You heard that? Counsellors often locate the human problem as poor self-image and tell us, look, if only you had a better view of yourself, if only you were more positive about who you really were, then things would be better. Teachers often locate the human problem as bad behaviour and just tell us, look, if only you were better behaved, then things would be better. Health magazines often locate the human problem as poor diet and exercise. You know, so look, if you exercised properly and if you ate the right kinds of food and you wore this and you used this miracle must-have cream, then things would be better. Or religious people locate the human problem as irreligion and tell us if that we kept religious rules and regulations, then things would be better. But in contrast to all of that, a society tries to locate the problem here. Jesus locates the problem a lot closer to home, the human heart. So where does that leave us? Well, if it's what comes out of our hearts that make us unclean, then the conclusion is that everybody is unclean. Do you get that? You see, if the religious leaders are right, then, well, they're clean because they keep the traditions of men, but Jesus' disciples are unclean because they don't keep the traditions. But if Jesus is right, then everybody is unclean. The Jewish leaders are in the same boat with everybody else. Now, Jesus is not saying that we're as bad as we could be. He's not saying that these are the only things that we do. But in many ways, if you look at that list in verse 21 and 22, these things typify us and pollute all we do and make us unclean before God. I wonder if you can picture the scene again. Jesus has called all the crowd together. And Jesus has been very honest with the crowd, hasn't he? And I hope you don't mind sort of being honest about this. These are very personal things for all of us here. This is talking about nothing smaller than the relationship between us and God. But he's been very honest about the crowd and explained to them what really makes you unclean. Imagine the effect on the crowd as they hear this. You know, and they sort of, the penny drops. And one thinks, well, that's me, I'm unclean. Another one says, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. And as sort of the camera pans back, you've got a whole crowd of unclean people. Jesus has gathered the crowd to him, and they're all unclean. Why? Why does he do that? Does he want them to go away? Why is he wanting to expose their hearts in this way? Why is he wanting to expose our hearts? Well, the wonderful thing is that Jesus exposes hearts, not to keep people away, not to try and sort of make them cover up, but to draw them to himself. The good news of Jesus is that he came to give people a fresh start with God. If you like, Jesus exposes people's hearts so they will come to him because he is powerful and willing to make us clean and give us a new heart. Do you see that? That's why the gospel is good news. There is the bad news that we're unclean. But the reason Jesus wants to expose that is he says, come to me, I am willing, be clean. And a question for each of us to consider this morning is, have you come to him? Because we don't need more rules, but Jesus and the new heart that he can give us.